Well, it's so good to be here today. Get my age, it's good to be anywhere today. And I'm glad to be here today. I want to preach the last message on the series entitled, Let's Get Out of Here. Talking about the rapture of the church and the Jesus coming for the saints. I want you to take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hold your place there for just a minute. I'm going to turn to enough scripture today so that if I don't say anything of any benefit, you can't go home and say you didn't get anything out of it. So if I read enough scripture and you didn't get anything out of it, probably you didn't bring anything to put it in. So take your Bible now to 1 Corinthians 15. Then turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And if you find that, then I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 4. The Revelation chapter 4. Now, all of those are not on your handout in your notes there. Because Brother Pickett did those notes. I didn't have anything to do with them. I want you to look now as I read for you 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I'm going to be reading in verse 51. And then we will turn to the other places and then I will make a statement to begin the message today. The Bible says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What Paul is saying is, we're all not going to die, but we're all going to be changed. Regardless, if we go to heaven by way of the graveyard or by way of the rapture, we're all going to be changed. And you ought to thank God for that if you looked in the mirror this morning. Just some folk got a better deal than others. You notice that? And the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptibility shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, because of all of that, therefore, because Jesus is coming real soon, therefore, because you're going to get a better deal with the next body than you got in the last deal, therefore, because we're all going to have a getting up party and going to heaven party, therefore, because all that Christ has done for us and is yet to do for us, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Man, that's enough preaching right there to save the whole world. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse 13, if you would allow me to, I'd like to read that for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have already died, that ye sorrow even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. A lot of Baptists are going to be uncomfortable when the shouting starts. And with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air to meet the Lord in the air. So and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Revelation chapter 4. Last book in your Bible. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this, after the church age, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. There's one thing that's significant in all three of those passages, is the trump of God shall sound. I am listening for the trump of God to sound. And when the trump of God blows, like the old song says, I'm going to take a trip on an old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Is anybody ready for that today? And wouldn't that be something if it took place while all of our Christian brethren are boating and camping and laying out today? Come on, give me an amen. And I know what I'd do all the way to heaven. I'd yell out, I told you so. Don't look at me with that old sour looking face. I believe Jesus is coming. Amen. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ's coming is imminent. It could be any moment. I just believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is about to split the eastern sky and cry, come up hither, and all of you are saved, going to take off like Hogan's goat. I love to preach about the rapture. I really do. I like to preach about it because I believe it to be true. I know it's hard for some of you to get a hold of. I read in 1 Peter, there would be scoffers in the last day saying, where is the promise of his coming? Things continue like it did since our fathers fell asleep. And some even mock, some even jeer, some even say that it's not going to happen. But I honestly believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. I love to preach the Bible. I love to preach it because I believe that he's coming. I believe that it's imminent. And I believe it's nothing more than graduation day for the child of God. I mean, buddy, I've been in school now for 70 years. You say, well, you're not getting any smarter. Well, you're a fine one to be talking. Man, I've been in school of hard knocks since I got saved 45 years ago. And I've been looking and praying and longing to see the Son of God step out on the ledge of nothing and cry, come up hither, and all of God's people take off in the air. I don't know about you, but that would be better than the Super Bowl. That would be better than the golf tournament this afternoon. And I love to preach about it because I believe it'll be my graduation day. Jim's going to give me a Bible that day. Said, old Doc, he done graduated. But you know, I like to preach about the rapture of church because reservations have got to be made ahead. If you're going to take that flight, you can't just walk up to the clerk and say, I'd like to go. You've got to make reservations if you're going to take that flight in that old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. A lot of folks remind me of that blonde lady. Go ahead and say amen. Or brunette lady. Or redheaded lady. Or bald-headed lady. Who got on an airplane and was found her place in first class. And she sat down and she said, this is a wonderful opportunity for me to take a nap. Before the plane left, this Harvard graduate lawyer came on board and sat down right beside her. And the little lady was trying to go to sleep. And the lawyer, I don't know why they like to talk so much, but the lawyer said to the young lady, let's play a game to pass the time away. The lady said, sir, I'm very exhausted. I would rather not. I would like to take a nap. And he was so insistent, he said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll ask you a question, and you ask me a question. I ask you a question, and if you cannot answer it, you pay me $5. And if you ask me a question, I cannot answer it, I'll pay you $5. The lady said, I've got more things to do than to play your silly game. I'm going to take a nap. Like all lawyers. Couldn't take no for an answer. Just pushy. Pushy, pushy, pushy. She said, okay. Under one condition. What's that? If I answer your question, you pay me 50. I answer your questions, I'll pay you 5. The attorney looked at the color of her hair and said, this is a no-brainer. We'll do it. So, the questions began. The attorney looked at her and said, what is the distance between the sun and earth? The blonde lady, without saying a word, reached in her purse, handed him $5, and said, I don't know. The lawyer smiled. This is a good flight, he said. The blonde lady said, now, it's my turn. He said, shoot. The lady said, what is black and white, goes up a hill with 3 legs and comes down with 4. He whips out his laptop, his iPhone, his iPad, and he gets on Google and Yahoo and Yahoo and ever Yahoo. He couldn't find the answer. He called a friend, a graduate, and he did not know the answer. He called a family member, and he did not know the answer. And after about an hour, and he wakes up the blonde and says, ma'am, I am sorry. I have tried every resource in the world. I do not know the answer. Here's your $50. She takes the $50. Puts it in her purse, and goes back to sleep. The lawyer, for once in his life, is speechless. He grabs her by the shoulder and shakes her. And says, well, what is the answer? She reached in her purse, gave him $5, and said, I don't know. You got to be ready for the flight. You never know what's going to happen when you get on board. Can anybody say amen? Are you having fun yet? Hey, well, let me tell you something. It's going to be a lot more fun when we get on that old gospel ship and go sailing through there, waving goodbye to all the sorrows and all the pain and all the heartache and all the disappointments and all the letdown. Yes, sir, we're leaving all of that behind when Jesus Christ gloriously comes again. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the omnipotent Son of God to step out on the ledge of nothing and begin to blow the trump of God, and with the voice of an archangel sounded so strong that even Sarah, that's been in the grave for hundreds of years, nudges old Abraham and says, "Honey, I think it's time to get up." And up from the grave, every saved human being in the history of mankind exits the graveyard with authority and power and victory over death, hell, and the grave. Is anybody ready to go? Well, buddy, I am. I'd miss my next golf game for that. I'm taking a coon dog with me. There'll be some things now you need to think about. Just a few things about this flight through the air. When it takes place, it'll be a time of satisfaction. You know, a lot of things down here I'm not satisfied with. I'm not satisfied with the crowd today. Of course, if it was full and we had people in the recesses, I wouldn't be satisfied with the crowd. Come down here, my satisfactor is just really hard to please. You ever notice that? Wives, have you ever noticed no matter how good you cook, something's wrong? You ever notice how good the car might ride, something is wrong? It's hard for us to get satisfied. Have you ever noticed that? I said, have you ever noticed that? People who shoot par golf said, "Boy, I'd like to shoot just one under. I'd like to shoot them in the head. I've got a real problem playing golf. After I swing, I'm still standing too close to the ball." Got great news for you. When the rapture takes place, it's going to be a time of great satisfaction. The Bible says in Timothy, he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not me only, but to all of them who love his appearing." Yes, sir. Wasn't that nice? Those kindergarten kids. I love these kindergarten kids. They had the best graduation service of everyone I attended this year. And wasn't that nice? They come and they get the reward. And boy, one of these days, I'm going to walk into the presence of Jesus Christ, yes, sir, after the rapture. And he's going to have a crown of righteousness, which he has promised me. It'll be a time of satisfaction. You know what? Just the place is going to be a place of satisfaction. You know, we got to mow our grass down here, and every once in a while our septic tank plugs up, and the air conditioner breaks down. Why don't air conditioners break down in the winter? And the heating break down in the summer? We'd have at least 2 or 3 weeks to fix it that way. See what I'm talking about? But down here there's just something always tearing up and something always not right. If the air conditioner's not tore up, Mama's mad. If Mama's not mad, Daddy's mad. If Daddy's not mad, the poodle is mad. And boy, when the poodle is mad, the whole house is messed up. And who knows, the pet rock may be pregnant, going to have little pebbles. And there's all kinds of things goes on down here that we're never satisfied with. But thank God, up there, bless your heart. The Bible said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Does anybody want a mansion? "In my Father's house are many mansions." I think maybe we'll be satisfied with the place. Can anybody say amen? The Bible said, "Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things, the glory, the greatness that God has prepared for them that love him." Can anybody say amen? Hey, look, buddy, we're going to heaven. Don't look, sit there and look like you're going to hell. Some of you folk ain't got me convinced the way you look and you even going. You better call ahead, get you some reservations. Dear God, just the place will be satisfying. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd kind of like
my mansion just be just down the street on Hallelujah Boulevard. Got a mailbox there. It's got Wolfenbarger on the mailbox. And it's spelt right. Thank God you didn't have to call me. Hey, Gene, how do you spell your name? I need to put it on your mailbox. It just aggravates me if somebody can't spell Wolfenbarger. You dumb? I never asked you how to spell Smith or Jones. You can't spell Wolfenbarger? Go to school like I did. Took me 11 years to spell it. But bless God, I worked it out. Is anybody here today? It'll be a satisfying place. Wouldn't it be something if you don't have nothing to gripe about? Wouldn't it be something if you didn't have to gripe to the husband, this couch is flat? Wouldn't it be something if your dishwasher was not broke? Wouldn't it be something if your garbage disposal worked? Well, in heaven, it's all working. Just the place. Just the place. Your place. A reserved place. Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fadeth not away. All yours. Just yours. Personally yours. All because Jesus loves you so much. Ha ha! I'd like to go today. I didn't miss the golf game. But you know, that's not always going to be satisfied. The person of the place is going to be satisfied. The person will be satisfied. You know what? His name is Jesus. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Somebody said, well, I get there. I'm going to look up so-and-so. You might be a little different there than you are here. You might just be a dab different when you walk into heaven's gates than you are down here. Your opinions may change. But I want you to know, I'm ready to go. Because I just believe that Jesus Christ said, when I see Him, I shall be made like Him. Is that not so? And I'm just really convinced that when I get to heaven, I want you to think of this a minute. If I'm going to be like Him, most of us attribute that to physical. Right? We get a body like His, right? What if we get emotions like His? What if we get goals like His? What if we love like He does? You see, There is no one that Jesus loves more than anybody else. Now, I love my wife more than I do you, Brother Matt. If I didn't, I wouldn't tell her that. Now, I love all you women. I honestly do. But I ain't going to go home and tell my wife, you know, I love me so-and-so like I love you. Because I'm afraid a lot of you folk will be attending a funeral. And it wouldn't be heard. Could this be a possibility? Now listen, just a minute. I know you're ready to go home. But what if, when you see Jesus, and you are made like Him, you are made like Him not only physical, spiritual, emotional, and you love everybody just like He loves everybody. Then you won't love anybody more than you love anybody. So you don't need to get married in heaven if you're a Mormon or not. Because you'll love everybody the same in heaven because you'll be like Jesus.
And your passions will be different. Your emotions will be different. Your thinking will be different. Your goals will be different. And when you walk into the streets of gold, you won't want to dig up the gold. Now you'd like to dig them up and pay your car off. Come on, come on. Need an amen? Some of you, if you could today, if you didn't think Jesus is watching, you would take one of the jewels out of the walls of Jasper and run down to the hawk shop to try to bail you out. Come on, shake your head. Amen. But in heaven, you won't need no bailing out. Obama's policy's gone down the drain in heaven. We don't need that. We're all going to be made like him. We'll be satisfied with the person. We'll be satisfied, yes, with the, and let me tell you something. Satisfaction. Oh, I put my dad in the grave a few years ago. I preached his funeral. I sung at his funeral. I sung a song I never heard before in my life. You thought this one was bad today. You should have heard that one. Daddy asked me to sing it. But he didn't ask me to sing it until after he's dead. If he'd asked me to sing before he's dead, I could have practiced. No, he left a note. Sing your song. Oh, yeah? Where do I get the song? And one of these days, I get to have him. I'm going to tell him. That's a dirty trick. That's a low-down, dirty dog trick. Pull on your son. And I preached his funeral. I sang at his funeral. In the rapture, it's going to be satisfying. But at the grave, it was satisfying to realize that wasn't the end of my daddy. That wasn't my daddy I put in that graveyard. My daddy was in heaven. He had already gone. That's just a vehicle God loaned him for those 70-some years. And boy, he did a good job wearing that thing out. He wrecked that thing totally and completely. But I could gather great satisfaction in knowing that one day I'm going to be seeing my daddy again. Isn't there satisfaction in that? If you're lost and you are not saved, what satisfaction is it to go to a grave and you end up in hell? Never to see your saved loved ones again. But in the rapture, it'll be a satisfying event. Yes, heaven will be satisfying. Jesus will be satisfying. And I must close before I even get started. It will be a time of sadness. Yes, it will. Be a time of sadness. Sad day for the unsaved. Oh, no, they don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear that Jesus is coming. They don't want to hear that He's the Creator. They do not want to hear He's the Sustainer. He don't want to hear He's the Omnipotent One. He does not. They do not want to hear that. They don't want to hear He's coming again. But I got news for you. Liberal or not, don't want to hear it or not, He's coming again. And there'll be a time of separation. Now, I wish I, like all the other preachers that I know, would take some scripture out of context and preach it that one will be grinding, one woman will be grinding, one will be taken, the other one left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other one left. I don't like this. Two men in the bed, one will be taken, one will left. I don't know what them suckers do in bed together. And I'd like to be able to tell you that that's talking about the rapture. But Luke and Matthew is not talking about the rapture. But it does give us the principle of separation. There'll be two working in the field when Jesus comes. And one will be snatched away and judged. The one will be left will enter into the millennium. Two women will be grinding at the field, at the meal, and the Bible says one will be snatched away and one will be left. And you've heard preachers all your life say that the one was snatched away went into the rapture. No, that's 7 years later. This one is snatched away and taken to judgment, and this one is left, goes into the millennium.
But when the Lord comes back in the air, no lost person will hear a sound or see a glimpse of our Savior. He comes back swift, silent, and secret, and cries with the voice of an archangel, "Come up here!" And all of God's people that are saved will be caught up. What do you think will go through the minds of those who are left? What happened to my wife? What happened to my child? Teenagers will go home and say, "Mom and Dad is not there. What has happened?" It'll be a time of heartbreak and a time of sadness. Mothers will look for children, and husbands for wives, and wives and loved ones will then enter the tribulation period spoken of in Matthew 24. 7 years of hell on this earth. Turn to your Bible, Matthew chapter 24, if you would please, for two or three scriptures. Matthew 24. It'll be a time of sadness because there will be separation. A time of sadness because the saved will leave and the unsaved will remain here. It'll be a time of sadness. Mothers, husbands, teens, friends and neighbors. It'll be a time of sadness. But not only will it be a time of sadness, when Jesus comes back in the rapture, it'll start a chain of events. A chain of events that you need to be mindful of. Reminds me of that guy who pulled into town unknowingly, and there was a circus in town. And he pulled up to a red light, not knowing that there was a parade. And there was a parade of a circus, and there's 50 elephants all tied together. One had a snout around the other one's tail. 50 of them. He sat there at the red light waiting for the parade to get by. He counted. 46. 47. 48. You know, when you get, you know, you got to get home with a bread. Mama's mad and she's about to eat. 49. Ring, ring, ring. 50. Boom. He killed the last elephant. Sucker miscounted. They sued him for $200,000. He went to court. He said, "Judge, I've never seen an elephant in my life worth $200,000. The judge said, "I agree. But see, you need to take into account, when you hit that elephant, that started a chain of events. And every elephant in that parade lost its tail. What do you do with an elephant with no tail? Chain of events. When Jesus comes back, it starts a chain of events called the tribulation period. God is judging the Jewish nation. God is judging nations for how they treated the Jewish nation. And God is purifying the earth. And at the end of that, He completely destroys the earth and creates a new heaven and new earth. If you're here when all of the influence of godliness is gone, and the devil and hell has its way with humanity, I want you to know, you're not going to be a happy camper. Matthew chapter 24, if you would please. I read for you verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be." Verse 27.
For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Could I have your attention, please? Have you ever wondered why, when they bury an individual, his feet is always pointed toward the east? I bet you thought that was just the way cemeteries was laid out. No. The feet is to the east. So when the Son of Man comes out of the east, you rise up automatically facing the coming of the Son of God. Verse 29. And immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now look at this. I know some of you folks are educated and you don't believe the Bible. Shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Get on to the revelation. In that time, the moon will be turned to blood. The sun will turn black as sackcloth. What controls the tides and the seasons? What controls the tides and the seasons? Stars begin to fall out of the galaxy many, many times the size of the earth and begin to hit the earth and knock it off its axis. The Bible said that islands in the sea will move about like checkers on checkerboards. And you say, well, what in the world is going to happen? You read on down and you'll see that the kings of the earth and the rich men of earth will run into the holes of the mountains and cry out to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb of God. Now, you don't want to be here for that. You say, I'm tough. You're not that tough. You say, I'm handling it. Good luck, Slick. You don't want to be here for that. You want to be here going home and finding your family gone. You don't want to be here when that chain of events starts happening. Be a time, a satisfying time for some, a saddening time for some. It will be a shocking time for some. Could I please tell you it's 11:25 so you don't have to look? But if Jesus Christ were to come back today, it'd shock you to death. You, who's got a King James Bible in your lap. You, who say the blessing over your food. You, who thank God for the grocer that He's given you. You who've been faithful to tithe, and God bless you for that. You who are here today and not on the lake someplace. Imagine if you and I are surprised, how surprised those folk are going to be on the lake that are members of Joshua Baptist Church. It'll be a shock. I said, it'll be a shock. You said, now, preacher, how do you know it'll be a shock? Because I've been preaching a long time and you folk don't believe it. You say, how do you know I don't believe it? By the way you live. First time I've seen some of you in a while. My Bible said, if we have the hope of Jesus Christ's imminent return, we will purify ourselves even as He is pure. And years ago, saints were faithful to God because they believed He could come back today. It was so real in the country that I lived in the country town that I lived in. The coming of Christ was so real. Many times, some catastrophe would happen in the mountains and a sound and a rumble. And my folks would say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. My God, they could drop an atom bomb in Fort Worth. And it wouldn't be three people say, Jesus is coming. They say, kill the terrorist.
I wonder how many, when Jesus steps out on the ledge of nothing and with the voice of an archangel and sound the trump of God, how many folks say, I don't believe in instruments. I'm not going. I got an appointment tomorrow. You say, you ought not be talking this way. It's the truth. You know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. I know it's the truth. We really do not believe and do not live in the light of Jesus Christ coming back. If we did, there would be not enough seats in this place today for our members. And we would make no plans past today. Our problem is, we're having nervous breakdowns worrying about tomorrow's problems with today's grace. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Would you please just stuff the what ifs and start walking by faith and trusting in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him because He's coming back. It'll be a shock. Would you say it'll be a shock? If you believe it'll be a shock, say amen. If you're awake, say amen. If you're planning to wake up when I get through, would you say amen? I don't care why you say amen, just say it. It'll be a shock. I don't want to talk too much about shock. But it'll be a time of swiftness. In the moment, I'll get ready. You won't get ready that fast. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's what the Bible said. How many folk believe that? I don't know what a twinkle is. But it says, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Now we have several computer experts here, like Brother Pickett and Brother Sean O'Dell and Brother Jim. But they say that in the computer world, there is a division of time called a nanosecond. I never seen one. But this span of time is equivalent to 1/1 billionth of a second. 1/1 billionth of a second. That is not even as quick as a twinkle. And you're going to get ready when you see Him coming. And in a shorter time than 1/1 billionth of a second, you'll be raised and changed. You better call ahead. You better make reservations. We hear today a lot about a form of advertisement called subliminal advertisement. Now, I don't know what it is. I read the other day what it was. I heard about it in rock and roll music. They call it backmasking and all that kind of stuff. But subliminal messages are indiscernible by the conscious mind, but are picked up and made conscious in the subconscious mind. They are messages flashed on your TV screen so fast, you can't pick them up with a conscious mind. But with a subconscious mind, you pick them up. May I illustrate? You're sitting at home watching television, and Pizza Hut is advertising their thick and chewy pizza. And with your conscious mind, you are watching yummy, yummy, health food, thick crust, fully loaded, except anchovies, pizza. You're getting hungry. But what you don't see is the subliminal message quickly that your subconscious picks up, go to Pizza Hut now. See, all you see and can record is yummy, 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 yummy. You want pizza. And Pizza Hut is loading your subconscious with, go to Pizza Hut now. Then your program comes back on. You say, honey, I'd kind of like to have a pizza. Let's go to Pizza Hut. You think that is your idea. You thought about that yourself. You're the one who wanted to go to Pizza Hut. No, you're not. Pizza Hut is the one that wanted you to go to Pizza Hut. And with a hidden subconscious message, Pizza Hut got you to buy the thick and chewy. That's quick. That was so quick, you don't even believe it. That's so quick, you didn't even know it. And just that quick, the dead shall rise and be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in less than one billionth of a second. It'll be swift. It'll be a shock. Some will be sad, but others will be satisfied. Are you ready? Are you ready? I think so. No. You need a sure thing, Dora. You need to get that straightened out. Because I'd kind of like for you to go with me.